Hi, guys. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. I'm here with Doug Diamond, and this is an unusual version of Lost Arts Radio Live because it's not really live. I mean, it's live for us because we're here, but you're going to be hearing it 4 days later than we're recording it because Doug is going to be gone for a few days to an exciting conference that he will hopefully tell us about when he gets back. So we wanted to put a show together for you anyway, and we're going to go over a few things that are happening. I won't be aware of the things that happened between Thursday and Saturday, so you have to forgive us for that. But we're just wanting to look at a few of the things going on in the world and see what the significance is, what we can learn for them, the implications, how we should respond, things like that. Certainly one of the top issues that's going on right now, as of Wednesday night anyway, I guess it's the, is it the 10th or the 11th? No, it's the 12th today. As of the 12th, the latest story I heard about Hurricane Florence, which is heading for the Carolinas, is that it's slowing down from a Category 6 to a 4, and hopefully that'll hold. But all of the stories that we're getting say that it's totally engineered. I don't know if it's created from scratch, from geoengineering, but definitely enhanced, according to everybody that I've seen writing about it. And so they could probably slow it down, speed it up, make it stall, make it stronger, whatever they want to do. And people are racing around trying to get supplies at the last second right now. So hopefully, by the time you hear this, maybe news will be better, is what we're hoping. But in general, there's a lot of really intense stuff going on all over the world. And we're speaking from being in the United States right now, but it's all intimately tied together, and especially in the U.S., what happens here really has a big impact on pretty much every other spot in the world because they're focused on the U.S., the global rulers right now trying to destroy the country economically, socially, every other way that they can, because this is kind of the last holdout of a place that was at least theoretically established as a government, the national government here, to be based on international freedom, and that the government should be protecting that. And of course, that was abandoned a long time ago, and most of the presidents and people in Congress and the agencies and things were violating their oath to uphold that principle almost as soon as they got into government. And it's just become a tradition, I guess, to violate the oath of office right away. But they didn't foresee getting in a president, which they have right now, who is not part of that system. I mean, he's certainly part of the business and corporate systems, but not part of the political system to intentionally destroy the country. And that's really irritating to the global rulers, and that it gets in their way. And that's why they need to get rid of him right away, either by throwing him out of office, using the 25th Amendment, claiming that even though he's really sharp and wide awake and an incredible worker and long hours and super energetic, they're going to say that he's got dementia and is incapable of fulfilling the office, and trying to build up that story as much as possible before either removing or eliminate or physically removing him, or at least impeaching him. Although if they impeach him, it's going to slow down a lot of his ability to do anything good, but it's highly unlikely, at least is how it looks, is highly unlikely that he would be convicted of that in the Senate. Because the impeachment itself, people think that that's getting the president out of office. That's not true. That's just an indictment by the House of Representatives. And then it doesn't go anywhere unless the Senate passes it as well. Senate, after a trial is held. So anyway, that's what they have in mind. And there's a lot of things that they're planning to do to create emergencies and catastrophes and false flags and stuff to lead to the feeling of chaos, and that they're justified in saying that he has to be replaced. And I just, before we really get into that and then the other things that are happening in connection with it, I would want to remind you that when you look at all the terrible things going on in the world, I totally understand why people don't want to do that and why they want to stay immersed in a sports competition or soap operas or, you know, something more pleasant than reality, than what they call reality anyway. And I completely understand and empathize with that. But we, since we're the key to making things better in the world, even if we don't realize it, and we're not supposed to be aware of that at all, we're supposed to think that we're completely powerless and stupid and dependent on the rulers for everything, and you need experts to run your life and all that kind of nonsense. Since that's not true, and the opposite is the case, that we are really the ones, as the old saying is, right? We are the ones we've been waiting for, sitting here hoping that somebody shows up to save us. And there's all these stories of different groups putting out notices on the internet saying, oh yeah, the White Hats or the Golden Dragon Team or something, all these groups, or the UFO people or whatever group there is going to come and just arrest all the bad guys. Everything will be great and there's nothing to worry about. This is some of the information coming out of this source called Q, which to me looks completely fraudulent. I would say looks 100% fraudulent, not in doubt at all. They say that some of the people who are the worst in the U.S. government right now are really great people, and they're taking care of everything, and don't worry. And it's kind of like the people that say, well, the world's going to end any minute now anyway, so there's no point in doing anything. It's a waste of effort. And just sit back and wait to be saved. And I don't think that's the way to take the most advantage of our lesson here. So if we do use it as an exercise to try to be really clear on what's going on around us, and then clear also on what we actually are, which is the biggest secret of all. You know, I was just saying how you're supposed to think you're so helpless without the experts. The only thing about looking at what's really going on is there's no point in just seeing this huge list of terrible things and becoming all depressed or angry or frustrated or, you know, contrary to common belief, getting mad as hell and not deciding you're not going to take it anymore is not the way to be the most effective. You know, we know in martial arts, which I have some background in, the person that gets all upset and scattered and angry and furious and starts racing around just wanting to do something drastic, they're not the ones who are strong and fast. They don't have any endurance. They use up their own energy, basically defeat themselves. And that's what we do if we get completely distraught by what's going on around us and feel incapable of doing anything about it. In reality, we have massive power for healing things, ourselves first, our bodies, other people, situations, countries, planets, oceans, things that you would never imagine. And the point is that we do have those abilities. They've just been shut down for a long time. So before you really get into looking at what's going bad in the world, it's important to take your emotion out of it to the point where you connect what emotional energy that you're taking in to something beautiful, whatever's inspiring and uplifting to you, and leave that connection there like a vacuum hose coming out of your heart center, and you put it on something beautiful for you. And then you can take your strategic and analytical faculty, which actually is totally separate. It's just that we've allowed them to function together. And then we absorb all this incredibly heavy, depressing energy from what we're analyzing going on in the world. No wonder no one wants to look at it. But if you do that little separation technique when you're looking at something that you have to be aware of, you'll be amazed, because it won't drag you down anymore. It's not going to take you off center, and you'll be much stronger. And then you can see clearly what to do about it. So in America, obviously, besides the hurricane approaching the southeast coast, biggest issue is probably censorship, I would say, because the power structure, which is incredibly unified between all the global corporations and government agencies and the corrupt elements inside the government, are all working in great coordination. I mean, much more closely than most of the conspiracy theory people imagine. It's a lot deeper than most people know. And they're all getting together to make sure that information on certain critical areas is cut off. Like right now, for example, NATO and the U.S. looks like they're moving towards an attack on this part of Syria. Completely illegal. It's not their country, right? we're not supposed to see the obvious, which is that that's a war crime. You know, Russia's been invited into Syria, not the U.S. and not the other NATO countries. We're not supposed to be there. If they thought our government was being illegitimate and they started bombing us because of that, most of us wouldn't think that would be justified or acceptable. That's exactly what the U.S. government is moving to do with NATO right now. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. What I wanted to say, first of all, is that the reason for the censorship, I was going to use that as an example because some of the major platforms, social media platforms, have completely cut off communication within Syria as they get ready for that invasion. And just to cover up crime, I mean, that's how they're using the social media now. So and to twist people's understanding of what's going on. So the censorship is really ramping up in America and other places too. But in America, where we're broadcasting from right now, all of the opinions that are expressed mentioning the name of the current president and expressing support for him, or what's worse, exposing and explaining some of the incredibly good things that he's done and is doing now, that's all unacceptable. So it's being banned, and thousands of channels on social media are being thrown off the air. This is really tricky to cover because we have in this country and probably most other places now, artificial intelligence is scanning all communications, and it's programmed with keywords. And I don't think it's fully intelligent yet as far as sarcasm and rhyming words and phrases that leave out the key trigger words are concerned. But, you know, we'll probably disappear off the major platforms pretty soon. So when we do, look for us on real.video, R-E-A-L.video, or check on our main website, which is lostartsradio.com, and it'll say where we still are. Anyway, the point of the censorship, besides just general social engineering, is to get everybody in America as much as possible to hate the current president. I'm not saying his name on purpose. It's a major trigger word for AI right now. And for everybody to hate him, think that he's a complete idiot, that he doesn't do any work, he doesn't even know how to work. I mean, he just sits around eating some potato chips all day or corn chips and watching TV with a blank stare on his face. In fact, there was a picture of him doing that on one of the major magazines, news magazines, a few months ago. It's completely the opposite of the truth. He's, according to the people around him, he's got one of the most incredible work ethics imaginable. And while they tried, the traitors around him try to make up reasons to take him out of office based on the 25th Amendment idea that he's mentally incompetent to do his job, the opposite is true. He's super sharp, gets right into conversations and completes people's sentences if they can, and just an incredible man. But there are certain environmental issues that, in spite of his good motive, which is his main crime in the eyes of the power structure, there are huge areas where he's not aware, as he needs to be, because these are not just little extra areas that are nice to know about. It's things that could result in the end of the biosphere. So see, I'm not just a supporter of his or a detractor of his. I'm only interested in whatever is actually true and correcting mistakes in my perception. It's not an ego thing at all. We just need to know what's true so that we can respond the best we can and make a contribution to the future of life on this planet. That's the point, not arguing about stupid stuff that we need to get together and try to find out the truth about. So some of the big areas that he's demonstrating that he seems to not know about, and he needs to know, this just recently the circle of around him of people keeping information away from him was breached. I hope it's still in that condition so this information can get to him. For example, he needs to know about geoengineering, which is an ongoing chemical air raid against America and most of the planet. It's just so outrageous of a thing going on that most people aren't emotionally prepared to even imagine what it would mean. Because if there's some whether you call it shadow government, deep state, whatever. And it's orchestrating things worldwide, way above the level of elected or appointed leaders. And in America, it's weird. None of the presidents, as far as I know, has even acknowledged that it's going on. But anybody can see it. These airplanes flying up high with white trails of this billowing particulates that have been photographed in HD coming out of the nozzles on the wings or the tail. It's really obvious. It's not ice crystals. There's some good video footage that was that either was or will be up on lostartsradio.com very soon, showing aircraft turning on and off the spraying, and it coming out in these huge billowing smoke clouds, not black colored, but kind of brownish. Clearly not the color you'd have if it was to save you from global warming, right? Or to cover it up. It's dark. It would absorb heat. But what's more important about it is it turns on and off. It's not ice crystals. And the engines are hot, you know, on jet aircraft. So right immediately at the back end of the engine, it's not going to turn into ice that fast. And it does turn into solids immediately. So that's going on. Incredibly enough, nobody in Congress or the president acknowledges that it's real. That has to change. The whole toxic agriculture system that is poisoning the whole country and everybody that gets the exported food, and in most other countries it's the same. Even where they don't allow GMOs, they allow chemical fertilizer, which is a disaster for the planet. That all has to be phased into true organic farming as quickly as possible. I don't think the president's mentioned anything about that or about the toxic nature of the forced monopolistic medical system. That's absolutely critical. I mean, Gary Null and Carolyn Dean wrote an article a few years ago. You can find it really easily on a search engine. Like, don't use Google, it's junk. DuckDuckGo, something like that. And you can see that it's called Death by Medicine. And they were saying that modern medical industry is killing more than 1 million people a year in America, and making $3 trillion in the process of doing it, per year, I mean. But more important than that, maybe not more important, but just as important and much bigger scale, is the medical industry, in addition to some wonderful work they're doing, saving people from trauma and accidents and stuff, with regard to disease, which they're causing instead of curing. They're getting everybody addicted to multiple medical drugs, and the results of those are really terrible. I haven't seen anything from the president that indicates that he's even aware of that. His motive is good. He tries to get drugs available at a cheaper price, which shows what he's after. He wouldn't be doing that if he's part of the power structure. But no sign of awareness that the whole drug paradigm is wrong. The same thing with the poisoning of the water supplies with fluoride and chlorine. And there are other ways to do it where you certainly don't use those. All the smart grid issues with the microwave technologies that are out there. And those are really dangerous. I mean, even without the 5G, which is going to be much worse and much more intense than what's operating now, our friend, I almost said his name, another trigger word, our friend, the newscaster that got banned off of all these major platforms that we talk about a lot and recommend highly, and you can still see his daily show, by the way. They haven't been able to ban him off all the private stations. And on lostartsradio.com, you can see on the front page, we've got a link to where he's visible now 6 days a week. I recommend you go and look at it. But he's saying that newscaster is saying that the smart grid and the 5G and all that is designed to kill humanity. And I'm watching the evolution of his understanding, because I've watched his work for the last 18 years. And I've talked to him a few times. Amazing person. I mean, no, it doesn't mean he's right about everything. That's silly to think that anybody would be. But his attitude, just like with the president, is great. Incredible courage and willingness to say things that aren't acceptable, willing to lose large numbers of people who won't accept telling the truth about something. Great person. And he said he recognizes that the plan of the global rulers is not just population reduction, it's population extermination. And it's going by steps, which is what buys us some time. And it was incredible to hear him say that with great clarity a few days ago. In addition to what is the points that are not being addressed, the dirty energy technology, yeah, it's true, there's no shortage of oil and there's no shortage of coal at the moment. And if you're dumb enough to build nuclear power plants, several of which are in the path of the oncoming hurricane, for example, the people who are dumb enough to build nuclear power plants and use them, they're victims of higher education to some degree, and they don't understand common sense anymore because they're so well educated, which is the part of the point of the system, is to make it so you can't think clearly anymore because you know so much and you're so complicated and you can use words that nobody else can use, and so you just must be so smart. And it's exactly the opposite. The educational system is designed to make you fall right into being used as a tool by the power structure, so that you're so specialized and have tunnel vision and you know that you're doing a good job following orders and doing your little specialized job. But the fact that you're helping to destroy life on Earth kind of escapes your attention. And those are the people operating those plants. But the people who decided to build them in the first place at the top levels, they knew all about it. So it wasn't stupid. They're doing it intentionally. And if you have any common sense left at all, you know, as has been proven by Fukushima and other places, that you're guaranteed sooner or later to have a potential planetary extinction event and at least some level of disaster. And there's like 12 of these plants more or less in the way of this oncoming storm. So no, there's no shortage of nuclear power. It's really impressive when it's working, except for what it does to the environmental situation. And sooner or later, though, it creates a catastrophe. And I don't see any sign that the president is really aware of that. But the reason that he's so hated is because the power structure has analyzed his point of view to the last detail, and they know what his motive is, which is to help the country and indirectly help the rest of the world, not by just giving them all our money or invading them or something stupid like that, that he's kind of tending toward falling into now, but by being an example. Prosperity, freedom, self-respect, mutual caring about each other, because we're all intimately tied together in a family. That's true with other countries too, but the ones that you can really create a structure for better life experiences, the people within your own country, and then you hope that you're helping the other ones by that example. And I think that's the attitude of the president. But the Congress is mostly not in that mindset at all, and both parties are mostly corrupt. The opposition party that's in right now has become pretty much completely evil and supporting all kinds of terrible things for the country and things that would be economically disastrous and socially disastrous and all that. So in the upcoming election, what the power structure hopes is to put them back in power, back in office in a majority, and or as much as possible, so that they can start undermining the good things that are happening right now. So Congress is pretty much out of it, and most of the federal agencies are completely corrupt. We've talked about CDC before, as have some of our guests, Dr. Labo and other ones, and FDA is a similar story. Anybody that's really doing something good in the medical industry, they shut them down or SWAT team them or whatever they can do like that. And if there's some really good dietary supplement product that's made from a food base and has no danger to it at all, they'll try to get it off the market. They're partners in the drug business with the drug companies, which most of the public doesn't understand. But most of this stuff that I've been going over here, the current American president seems not to know about, and is getting really terrible advice from his advisors and lawyers, and certainly from the military advisors that are pushing him towards an invasion of Syria right now, while the social media cut off any communication ability from Syria so that nobody will really be able to see what it's really like. And they're citing a past history to justify it, of saying that the president of Syria used these banned weapons against his own population. But that's completely been disproven, you know, very clearly. There were three instances they're referring to, and the first two were done by the U.S.-backed ISIS people with trying to overthrow Syria and kill everybody and throw people off roofs and stuff like that. That's who did it, and they bragged about it on video, so there's just no question. And the third of the three instances that they're referring to, there wasn't even any attack like that. It was just a bunch of kids. They offered them candy bars and granola and stuff like that if they'd allow them to pour water over their heads and then flop around on the ground for a while. And the reason that got out is because the kids and their parents, some of them, went on TV and said, oh, by the way, we're not dead, and we didn't get any bad chemicals on us. These nice guys dumped water over our heads and gave us candy bars. How can anybody in the public fall for that, including the president? Because that's being used as a justification for this multi-country invasion of Syria right when they're on the verge of destroying the last part of ISIS in this place called Idlib in the south, I think. That really says a lot about how much real information is getting to the president, because I'm sure that he's not wanting to do this just to be evil, which some of the people higher up, definitely that is their motive. But he, in the debates in the 2016 election, he was the only anti-war candidate from either party, either major party, which got him a lot of support, because I think a lot of American people didn't think that going to war all over the planet was brilliant or a good idea for them. But now he's being pushed into it, and he's got all these high-level military advisors, and the president appears to be confident on his negotiation ability and economic ability and ability to work with economic experts and business experts, things like that. So he does a great job, which the opposition party tries to hide, but it's pretty much impossible to hide right now. We just saw the previous president go on video and say, well, yeah, the president is claiming this economic great success, but it's really a good idea for us to remember who started that and where it came from. Well, that was a complete lie, because the economic experts showed the graphs, and in the previous administration, all of the economic indicators were going precipitously negative. And then even as soon as people knew that the new president was elected, they started going straight up. That's really all you need to see as far as where this all came from. So, but he doesn't seem to have any confidence in his ability to make military judgments. He should have gone with his gut instinct, which said, get out of these countries, stop the invasions, stop the occupations, and have trade in a win-win situation, bilateral agreements, one with each separate country, not with these mega, multinational agencies that override your national law. You never want to be involved in any of those. That's a complete scam. So he doesn't seem to have the confidence that he needs to use common sense into military affairs. But aside from the fact that he needs to know all the complexities of what groups are moving where and things like that, the simple stuff is what he's missing. You know, you don't invade sovereign countries who are not attacking you. You don't do that. That's called a war crime. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. You know, you have to think a little deeper than this. A lot of really great people don't know everything, meaning all of us, actually. And he's one of them, but he needs to learn. You don't invade sovereign countries. And he knew that in the debates. Needs to remember it. And you don't shoot missiles like last time when they had this false chemical attack and they dumped the water over the kids' heads, and the president wanted to show his detractors that he was really tough and going to take a stand against that. And he actually shot missiles into the country, not in a real damaging way, but you don't do stuff like that. And he should have known. He should have been looking at real sources of information that it was fake. It was a water attack. I mean, not on a big area. It was a water attack out of glasses of water poured over kids' heads. And they did fine. They came out of it profiting by a number of candy bars and granola. In spite of that, the things where he is allowing his common sense to be used, the media wants you to never know about those, but they're very important. So the border security, stopping terrorists from just walking across the border and getting the previous president's invitation for a free bus ride anywhere in the country. Just don't have to have a real name or anything. You just get right in, get on welfare, get a bus ride to the city you choose, and start doing whatever it is you're really wanting to do to cause chaos inside. The border security is radically improved, and illegal crossing is down tremendously. Companies and jobs have come back in record numbers, and the previous president said that was totally impossible, that growth rate could never be up to 3%. It would have to be like 1.5. From now on, it's currently like 4.6. Growth in GDP, annualized growth in GDP, and the unemployment rate for especially blacks and Hispanic workers is the lowest in U.S. history. You're absolutely not going to hear that on regular television. And all these companies have come back because of the president's cutting the tax rate. And the opposition party says, well, that's just to help the rich people, you know. And they think you're really dumb. See, if you don't have the companies come back, then you can't work for them if they're not there. It's really not that complicated. Anyway, the unemployment rate is down really low. It's below the growth rate. A lot of ridiculous federal regulations have been eliminated, which I think is great. You know, people talk about the need for a strong EPA and things like that, which is true if they do their job. But when they're involved in stuff like fining a farmer or homeowner for catching some rainwater in a bucket, serious doubt whether that agency should exist. Personally, I think it should exist, but not to do anything like that. They should be doing things like shutting down the production of Roundup and almost all the pesticides, and they should be helping people learn, okay, what are we going to do instead of that? They're so brainwashed by the fake education in ag school and everything. But they're going to say, okay, if we can't poison our crops and we can't poison the land, well, what are we going to replace it with? They're so far gone, they think like that. See, because you don't need a new natural poison. You need to get back to being an actual farmer again. Take care of the soil. Learn about what insects and plant diseases really are and why they're there. And nature's not a mess, you know, waiting for modern chemistry to fix it. It's beautiful. And I've been involved in organic agriculture since about 66 and 1966. And the way it works is in general, the insects are there like the microorganisms in our body. And in the body, 90% of your cells are not human. I mean, might as well know it. And there are other kinds of bacteria, fungi, different organisms that are keeping everything in beautiful balance. So if medicine is so barbaric that they think, oh, you have a disease, it was caused by a germ, we're going to give you a toxic chemical and then everything's going to be great. Yeah, for the moment, it might kill the microorganisms that's out of balance and causing harm, but it kills everything else too. And then you become dependent on more and more and more chemicals called medicine. And it's a mess. And the same thing happens in agriculture, that when you try to substitute chemical fertilizer for really healthy soil, you need more and more, and you get bad weed problems. The insects and diseases come in automatically because they can sense that the plants aren't healthy and they're not nourished the right way. And then the poison salesman says, see, you have to poison the food crops or everybody's going to starve. And it looks like, you know, he's telling the truth, but it's not true. You just have to see a little bit deeper. It's like, yeah, antibiotics do stop these certain microorganisms, but if you step back and do some other things in your lifestyle correctly, so you're not setting up a situation where you're begging for infection to come in, then antibiotics never come up as an issue. You just don't get sick, and you don't have the degeneration that people are experiencing. Anyway, the good things that this current president has done include getting out of these multinational agreements like TPP that was getting ready to just destroy the American economy and what was left of manufacturing and other things here, and got out of the fraudulent Paris Climate Accord, stopped with NAFTA and started one-on-one negotiations with Mexico. Canada's not willing to do that yet, and they're against making it a win-win situation. They just want to keep these huge tariffs on the U.S. goods and have none going the other way. That has to be changed, and the previous administration found no problem with all that. Yeah, it destroys American economy, but that's fine. The current president says no and is actually working quickly, even under pressure of all these traitorous advisors around him, to fix that. He also was willing to recognize religious terrorism that's being used as a weapon against the whole world right now with the complicit cooperation of all these Western leaders. I don't know what they're promised or what they're threatened with, but they're most of them in Scandinavia and France and Germany and places like that, they're actively supporting the destruction of their own countries. And the UN is a big force behind that, as well as other private funding sources that probably want to do that, so that if there's enough destruction within individual countries, the people will hopefully beg to be put under tyranny for law and order and safety. And then their global rulers will get what they've been working for thousands of years. Another good thing that the current president has done and continues to do is high-level arrests in the business of child trafficking. And it's being really important business to support blackmailing of government representatives from the federal all the way down to the local level, and for other uses of the kids higher up, which have nothing to do with government or money or anything like that. And I want to keep this more or less G-rated on this show, but there's some really bad things going on, and the current president found out about it, and he's really cracking down on it, which irritates the deep state rulers and intensifies their need to get rid of him. So when you look at the current president, if you can drop your labels, don't be a progressive or a liberal or a conservative or a right or a left or a Democrat or a Republican or whatever, just stop that and look at what's happening. Get your, you know, work on your understanding of that, because not all understanding follows party lines, and party lines are blinders. So if you live in a country, any country, America or anywhere else, besides taking care of yourself, your family, your, you know, people around you, it's good if you can make a contribution to make your country better. And what the current president is saying is the idea of nationalism. It doesn't mean, see, the media wants you to think that's one country against another country. That's not what it is at all. It's each country caring about its own people instead of a multinational, you know, global corporate conglomerates of various kinds and making all kinds of deals through the central banks to siphon off the money that the people are earning so it can go to the bankers. And I'm not objecting to the local community bankers. Those are mostly really nice people, and a lot of them have no idea what banking's really doing at the top levels. And I don't think Trump has full appreciation of it yet either. He's demonstrated some understanding of the problems caused by the central bank, but not the fact that the whole scheme is a complete malicious fraud. And as Rand Paul and his father before him, Rand Paul in the Senate and his father in Congress, pointed out, that the Federal Reserve should be audited and then dissolved. because it's a massive criminal organization. And I don't think the current president understands that yet, but he needs to learn. So since the power structure knows his attitude is to try to do good for the country, and that theoretically he might learn about all these things that I've been listing, and that if he does, just like he's been sacrificing his whole life quality, huge amounts of money, the face safety of him and his family, he's been willing to sacrifice that for the good things that he does know how to do. If he finds out about these other things, he's likely to do them too. And that's completely unacceptable to the rulers. And so they want to remove him and kill him and his family if possible. And they're using the mainstream media, social media, the entertainment companies, which are mostly the major studios, are now bought by communist Chinese interests, which is pretty interesting. And the government agencies, which are still largely corrupt and have people that are not cooperating with or helping the president at all. Their objective is to make sure we never hear anything good about what he's doing, that we never hear anything good about the extent of the corruption in the agencies and the corporations and parts of the government and all the way down to local. We're not supposed to hear anything about that. And that we don't find out about the corruption in the media itself and TV and radio, social media, that's all under globalist control right now. And the lying and the untruth is way beyond what people call fake news now. It's just so outrageous, it's hard to even grasp. And thousands of social media channels that don't go along with the narrative of the rulers are being just banned. I mean, before they were making believe that it took three strikes to get knocked off your channel and to be banned, and now they're not even pretending that anymore. They're just taking them off. And people are being targeted for exposing anything about religious terrorism, and I'm not going to mention the one religion that is being used for that right now. Other ones have done similar things in the past, but this is definitely the one right now. And in what used to be Europe before the EU, even people that mention it, even people that read from the scriptures of that religion, they can go to jail just for reading a scripture or for saying anything about it or any kind of complaint. At the same time, threats of violence and actual violence are being attempted with increasing frequency against anyone supporting the current president or nationalism or the Constitution or secure borders or anything like that. And it's a lot similar in other countries. For example, in Brazil, where the candidate that's like our current president in America just got stabbed for being in a rally without, I guess, body armor on or something. And this crazy guy got up close to him and started stabbing him and said he was on a mission from God. But apparently, last I heard, this man was going to live, and they thought he'd now win the election because even the people who were completely asleep were waking up and saying, wait a minute, let's see now. If the crazy people on a mission from God come up and stab this guy in the middle of him talking about freedom and protection for the individual people to get to live the way they want, maybe that candidate's not so bad. And so they're thinking that he'll probably win in a landslide now if he survives, if he continues to survive the knife wounds. So, you know, all this is going on. And in America, if the opposing party wins, it could stall all the positive progress that's been made so far that the media won't let anybody know about. And they'll probably try to totally demonize and probably impeach the American president. And so to survive it at this point, what's coming up, and heal the current current situation, it's not enough to just be doing the current good things that are happening. There has to be more to turn things around, because there's so much momentum in a negative direction right now, in spite of all the great people that are doing their contributions in the other direction. This move toward invading and attacking Syria is really criminal on the part of the U.S. and NATO. And you know that certain advisors who I could name who are right around the president right now are telling him, yeah, you've got to do this. The ruler of Syria is so bad. And, you know, if a country is that bad and they're a threat to the world or a threat to our country, then this thing called the Constitution, you know, it says there's a procedure for that. You have to declare war. And then Congress has to approve it. You can't just say, okay, we have a war now. President can't do that unless there's an immediate emergency threatening the lives of the people of his own country. He can't just say, okay, there's a war, we're going to invade and bomb you. Doesn't work that way. They're just ignoring the law. It's kind of like based on an idea of pre-crime, saying that, which the media will totally support, saying that, all right, there are the president of Syria is about to have a false flag attack, chemical attack on his own people, so we have to bomb him to save his people. Not bomb him, but bomb lots of other people who are going to die. And they probably are going to do a false flag chemical attack, but it will either be done by the religious fanatical murderers who are in there that Syria is trying to get rid of with Russia's invited help, or it'll be another water attack like they poured over those kids' heads and give them candy. So citing the history of the misuse of banned weapons by the president of Syria is, I don't think it's malicious at all on the part of the president, but it shows there's big chunks of information that are being kept away from him. And he's supposed to have the best access to information of anybody. So there's a real problem with that censorship even of information going to him. And he's trusting the military advisors that he apparently still thinks are acting in our best interest and about to make a terrible mistake if he follows through with it. So those advisors, those lawyers around him in the White House and the executive branch, and including the Justice Department, they are including his the Attorney General and several levels below him have to be fired and right away, like tomorrow. I mean, that ideally. And the major criminals in the opposing party that have orchestrated all this fake Russia stuff and everything, and they're still moving on that, need to be arrested, maybe at a military tribunal for some of them, including the previous president and the 2016 candidate and a lot of other people. And the stupid animosity toward Russia, who was trying to be the ally of the U.S. and is still exercising amazing restraint, at least up to the time of this broadcast. They were asking for an alliance, which would have really been helpful for the whole world, doing some really good things, trying to get 5G out of their schools, banning GMOs, supporting organic farming and families, and land for families to have organic farms on. All kinds of really good stuff. They're not communist at all. And the leader of that country was reaching out to the current president right at the election and saying, look, we need to cooperate, and that might still be able to be done, but it's getting late because there's a China-Russia alliance that could form instead, and that would not be a strategically good thing to do. So that has to be reversed right away. He needs to audit and abolish the central bank, as we talked about, break free from that economic slavery. And that's one thing that really affects the population. You know, the president has demonstrated that he could make a massive improvement in prosperity and economics and all that within the country starting the day that he was elected. But compared to what he could get by getting rid of the criminal fraud called the central bank, also known as the Federal Reserve, and we just had Ed Griffin on to explain it in great detail, that would open things up in a way that I don't think people imagine. So really important that he finds out about that and moves on it. And it looks like, from what we can tell, that he has decided to try to move against the censorship, but there's only a little over 50 days now, I think 52 when you hear this, before the election. So all these things need to be moved on immediately, and otherwise taking too long could be really risky. And I think one of the ways to overcome the demonization of the current president, where the whole media hates and wants to destroy him, is to start talking directly to the people from the Oval Office at least once a week, bypassing the stupid media that will twist anything he says into something bad, and just start saying, look, this is really what's happening. This is what I'm experiencing. This is why what the media says is false. This is what's really going on in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. And establish a real direct communication. That in itself would probably increase his support in huge numbers, because generally presidents don't have enough respect or show enough respect for their own people to just honestly and openly do these addresses to the whole nation. The current president does it at rallies for the people that are there and the people that it gets to on TV, but he needs to get to everybody. And if he gave addresses from the Oval Office, I think most of America would probably listen, and also a lot of the rest of the world, which is important. Because remember, the U.S. is supposed to be based on the idea of individual freedom that doesn't come from government, and it's not something that can ever be taken away. So the idea that the founders were expressing is, even if there were no constitution, even if there were no Declaration of Independence, your rights would be unchanged. So what does that mean? That means in other countries where they don't have those protections legally, they still have those rights. And I think that the current president would do a great service for the rest of the world by saying, hey, you guys that live outside of the United States, we have good news for you. You have exactly the same rights and potentials and freedoms given by God, or that you're born with, as we do. So you don't have to wait for a constitution. These really are your rights, and you need to bring in a government that comes from you, who are people there whose motive is to protect your rights and your freedoms. That's their job, not to just aggrandize themselves and get immense power over everybody. And unfortunately, that's what most of them do. And some of the founders pointed out that no system of government works unless you have a certain requisite level of character in the office holders. If you don't, I mean, forget it. Something like what happened to America is going to happen. And it did. And it's obviously happened in other countries too. European and countries in the UK and other ones are just obviously part of various mafias, and it's fine with them to destroy their country and their people. So it's not so much the system as the quality of the people who are there, although the system's important. Two, it really needs to recognize the basic idea of freedom and why governments exist. So no more occupations and invasions. I would say this invasion that's about to happen this week, where they're moving closer and closer toward invading Syria, that should be canceled right away and never considered again. If Syria wants help in getting rid of the real terrorists, their elected government will ask for it from whom they want to. And they did. And that country is called Russia. And Russia's been there and almost wiped out ISIS at this point, having help at some points from the U.S., but mostly Russia. And that was the one that's there by invitation. So the idea of considering strategically whether to go in and start bombing, that's not even a legitimate option. The other thing that needs to happen is start exposing the hidden technologies, especially for energy production, energy generation. And, you know, if you want to know more detail about what's really available, it's not solar and wind. It's way better. And the inventors and the people holding this reverse engineered technology have been talked about by Stephen Greer quite a bit. And I recommend watching his videos on social media. They're all still there. maybe they're not maybe they're not taken off because the rulers don't think they're too threatening, because everybody will think Dr. Stephen Greer is just a wacko talking about UFOs and everything. But he's not. And he talks about the energy technologies that have been developed and perfected for the last 100 years, and they're being hidden right now. And I know the president has expressed a desire to go in that direction, but I don't think he grasps the real situation. You ought to have a long talk with Dr. Greer and pay attention. So those are some of the major things. And I want to say, since we're almost out of time here, that we as individuals can help. And we're more powerful than we're supposed to know. And our attitude and our thought patterns and our programming and what we do in our life and the ethical degree that we take into whatever we're having to do for our outside work, even if you've made mistakes in it before, which everybody has, even if you work for a company spraying the geoengineering junk over the planet, or you're helping to develop new GMO crops or forest trees or developing pesticides or spraying them everywhere, doesn't matter. What matters is changing. Realize mistakes and do them different, you know, from now on. And one of the things we can do is just in attitude, rejecting the whole division between races and parties and genders and this new version of racism, which is hatred of men and white people in general, so-called white. I mean, they don't look very white to me. They're kind of brown or pink or different shades, but you know, they're called white, and it's supposed to be okay to have racism against them because they have light skin. I'm completely stupid. So one of the ways we can help is not falling for that. Stop buying poison food for yourself and your family. Yeah, you get penalized financially, and it does cost a little more to buy food that's organic or better. But the other's not food. If it's labeled conventional, it actually should be labeled poisoned. And my recommendation is, if it's poisoned food, don't buy it. Don't buy it if it's heavily processed, because the life force in it, which is the primary nutrient that you're not supposed to know about, is gone in that case. And it leads to interesting adventures with hospitals and doctors. And even though there's a time lag that makes us not realize it, you need to start realizing it. Start seeing through the nonsense of the time lag and see cause and effect. And an effect being bad health, which can be really hellish, starts with elements of lifestyle, like what you eat and drink and smoke or drugs that you do. You have to clean that up unless you want bad, really unpleasant results that you won't like. So that's a way that we can help. Don't buy non-organic food. Farmers won't be able to sell it. They're just going to have to be organic, even if they personally don't care and they just are happy to poison you. They can't keep doing it if you don't buy the food. Organic industry is already growing by huge percentages every year. But it needs to grow a lot faster. And in your communities, reject the idea of putting fluoride in the water, which is a complete scam. Again, there's so many scams out there. And CDC, maybe unwittingly, has the information that you can figure that out on their own website, because the times that they say, oh, look, fluoridation started in this country and the tooth decay went down, well, on the same website, it has the non-fluoridated country. At the same time period, the tooth decay went down there too. So it was a factor of, or I should say, an effect of sanitation improvements or things like that. Fluoridation is another deadly poison. And to save the money from having to get rid of it as a toxic waste, I say, oh, look at this great idea. We'll just dump it in the public water supply. Look at the videos by Dr. Paul Connett on the internet. They're really good, and I think you'll find them interesting. Of course, we have to realize geoengineering is real. Everybody should be aware of it. Help to publicize it. Stop believing the corporate mainstream media and the government agencies and all the sources of intentionally false information, which they're doing every day. And bring a big way that we can help, I think, is by bringing ethics back into whatever you're doing in your life. Learn how to get your health and energy back without drugs and without invasive procedures, cutting out body parts, stuff like that. If you want a doctor, find one that understands those things and is not in love with drugs and knows what's wrong with them. And, you know, the fact, for example, that they're called medicine, but they're toxic chemicals. Eating toxic chemicals to get healthy is, there's a lot wrong with that picture. In general, become conscious. Because a conscious, unified public is really hard to control and destroy. Trying to talk fast here because we're just about out of time. And just think kindly and wish well for your fellow humans, even if they're playing the part of bad guys right now. Wish them well because, you know, the best thing we could do for them is not kill them, it's heal them. So that from inside their position of power, they start doing good. And we have a potentially huge effect on that. We can actually encourage it. Depending on what we're willing to become and what we do in our own lives. And just generally looking for ways to support health and harmony. And you find out that your power is not in what you say, it's in what you become, like Gandhi said. So that's about it. And we're about out of time now. And the club meeting will start in half an hour from when you're hearing this end. Anybody who doesn't know about the club can find out about it at lostartsradio.com/club. It's about people want to get more serious on working on these things in their own life and getting their health back and becoming more conscious. And it gets into some stuff that I can't freely talk about on a public forum like this. Watch for the free videos, though, that I can put on the public forums on YouTube and Facebook at the moment and Twitter and Periscope and all that stuff. More live streams are coming up. Don't forget our main site at lostartsradio.com. And Sunday show is tomorrow on blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio. And I think that's about it. I really appreciate your giving us some of your time. Remember the club meeting in half an hour and Sunday show tomorrow. And I'll see you next time. Have a great week. Thank you for being here.